This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As thought follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, we are grateful for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allowed us to gather tonight. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our gathering, to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. My brothers and sisters in Islam, I'm going to begin with a reminder. First and foremost, I ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He accept all your righteous deeds and your good actions. And it is a very pleasing sight to see how many of you got up after Salat al-Isha and prayed your Sunan. Some prayed the Sunnah, some prayed al-Witr. May Allah Azza wa Jal accept and increase you in concern. However, there is a Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that you should know about. And I don't want to hold it back from you. And this is the time to explain it to you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, and he said that the best prayer a person could pray is the prayer that he prays at home, except the obligatory prayer. The best obligatory prayer is the one that is prayed in the masjid. And so what we learn from this hadith is that if you pray Salat al-Sunnah at home, and some of you wait and do not pray it in the masjid, rather they wait until they go home and pray, then the one who prayed a sunnah at home has earned much more reward than the one who prayed that very same sunnah here in the masjid. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, do not turn your homes into graveyards. And turning a home into a graveyard, it means abandoning the prayers at home. So the best salat you will ever pray and the most rewarding salat is the salat you pray at home. Except al-fajr, wal-dhahr, wal-asr, wal-maghrib, wal-isha, the most rewarding of that will be to pray in the masjid in congregation. So inshallah ta'ala that is clean. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept from us all. Tonight's lecture is titled Overcoming Sins and Desires. And my brothers and sisters in Islam, Iman is two halves. The first half of Iman is patience. And the second half of Iman is gratitude. If a person practices patience in his life, he has fulfilled half his Iman. And if a person practices gratitude in his life, and all the obligations that we do are part of gratitude, then he has presented before Allah Azza wa Jal with complete Iman. And I begin by saying this because when we observe patience and look into patience, then patience is of three types. Patience upon the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. So when we pray, that requires patience. When you get up and make wudu every single day in the cold weather, that requires patience. When you give charity and zakat, that requires patience. Even when you do al-hajj wal-umrah, that requires a lot of patience. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He said, فَاعْبُدْهُ وَاصْطَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ. Worship Allah and be patient upon His worship. Right? So that's the first type of patience. Patience upon the worship of Allah. The second type of patience is patience away from the prohibitions. So when there is something that is haram, when there is a sin you know about, when there is an evil desire and a temptation, and you keep away from it, you require sabr, you require patience to keep away from it. When I know that az-zina is haram, but az-zina is very tempting, especially nowadays, in this world of corruption and fitan, zina is very easily accessed. Az-zina of the eyes, you open your phone and immediately you'll see al-haram. Az-zina of the tongue, when a person speaks inappropriate words to the opposite gender, hadha az-zina of the tongue. الزنا of the hands. When you touch that which Allah Azza wa Jal forbid upon you. الزنا of the legs. When you walk to that which is haram. And ultimately, the zina of the privates, when it penetrates the other in the haram. All of these are forms of zina and they are haram. It requires a lot of patience to keep away from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited. Therefore, we require patience when we worship Allah, and we require the very same patience when we keep away from sins and haram. And the third type of patience is patience upon the calamities of life. So when a person goes through a health issue or a financial issue, or he loses a loved one, or whatever it is of the pains and the calamities and the hardships and the difficulties of life, that requires patience. And how do you exercise patience? By saying that which is pleasing to Allah and avoiding saying words that are displeasing to Allah. So let's say you are struck by a calamity, financial calamity, or you lost a loved one. And then you said, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That's practicing patience in a time of calamity. You'll be accepted from those who practice patience in a time of calamity. But if you say words that are displeasing to Allah, such as, Ya Allah, why me? Why am I in this situation? What have I done wrong, O Allah? And you start speaking words, I think Allah has oppressed me with the situation I'm in. Then you have lost patience during a time of a calamity, and you have brought another calamity upon yourself. So this is what patience is. And so I explained all of this at the very beginning, because I said to you that our lecture tonight is overcoming sins and desires. And I said that requires a lot of patience. So what I want to equip you with, inshallah ta'ala, are tools and skills that you're able to use in your life that will help you avoid and overcome sins and desires in your life. There's about 10 points. The more you have and the more you're able to practice of these points, the more protection you'll have against the sins and the desires. The stronger iman and the stronger resistance you'll have against these sins and desires. According to how many you're able to practice, and as you listen to me, you see how many of them do you have, which one is easy for you, which one is not, and start working on them. But let me say at the very beginning that the ulama, rahimahumullah, they have mentioned that keeping away from prohibitions is better than engaging in voluntary deeds. You know, if you were tempted to do a sin, and you avoided it for the sake of Allah, that is better than someone who is engaging in voluntary actions. Fasting, let's say, a Monday and Thursday, a Sunnah Monday and Thursday. Which one is more preferable? Keeping away from a sin is more preferable than engaging in voluntary deeds. And why is that the case? And by the way, this is the opinion of Aisha radiallahu anha, والحسن البصري وعمر بن عبد العزيز وابن رجب and many of the ulama. Why is it better? Because keeping away from prohibitions, it is an obligation. It is wajib. Whereas doing voluntary deeds is recommended. And the wajib takes precedence over that which is recommended. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, إِذَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. If I prohibit you from something, then keep away from it. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, avoid the prohibitions and you will be the most righteous of mankind. See that? Avoid the haram and you will be the most righteous among mankind. And why is that the case? Because أَعْمَالُ الْبِرْ, righteous deeds such as feeding the poor, helping people, voluntary deeds that you do. Everyone does this. Everyone can do this. The righteous and the rebellious do this. But only a true believer avoids sins and avoids the prohibitions. والحسن البصري رحمه الله, he said, ما عبد العابدون بشيء أفضل بتركهم ما نهى الله عنهم. He said, the best thing a worshipper can do concerning his servitude to Allah is to avoid what Allah prohibited. That's the best thing a worshipper could do. وَأَبْنُ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ He said, avoiding a sin, avoiding the sin of oppression, is much better than 500 voluntary hajj. Why? Because voluntary hajj is recommended. But avoiding a sin is wajib. It's obligatory. So this is what our ulama, rahimahumullah, wanted to discuss and explain. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, he counted from among those that are shaded under the shade of Allah on the Day of Judgment, he said, وَرَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُ مْرَأَةٌ ذَاتُ مَنْصِبٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ A man, which a woman called, she called him to commit a sin. And he said to her, I fear Allah. See this person? He avoided a sin and he was rewarded by being under the shade of Allah on the Day of Judgment. And so therefore, avoiding sins is a huge thing in life. Don't think that the sin you avoid, heck, it just went and, oh, I missed an opportunity of temptation and desire and enjoyment and pleasure. You restrain yourself. Maybe there is difficulty, there is pain in avoiding a sin. But that difficulty, that pain is called sabr in Islam. And you are rewarded immensely for it. And you will be grateful to Allah on the Day of Judgment to find out that the sin you avoided for Allah ended up putting you under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment and admits you into the paradise and earns you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. Now, so I share with you Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah. He also said, لَيْسَ التَّقْوَى صِيَامُ النَّهَارِ وَقِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ He said, righteousness is not fasting the days and praying the nights. He said, righteousness is fulfilling that which Allah obligated and commanded and keeping away from that which Allah Azza wa Jal prohibited. And that is at-taqwa. That is the definition of at-taqwa. To do what Allah commanded and to keep away from that which He prohibited subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so we move on to these 10 points that inshallah ta'ala will give you that skill that you require bi-ithnillah to avoid the sins. Number one, and this is from the works of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. He said, number one, to know that sins are repulsive, abhorrent, despicable, meaning they are disgusting and filthy in nature. Whenever you approach a sin, that's the first knowledge you're supposed to need in order to keep away from it. Look at the sin, observe the sin, and start speaking and discussing to yourself that this sin is disgusting, it is filthy in nature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only forbids sins because they are filthy in nature. And when you're aware of this matter, this becomes a reason for why you're able to remain patient and overcome the sin and the desire. I tell you how. You know, a normal human being whose fitrah, yani his natural disposition has not been distorted, a normal human being runs away from anything that is disgusting, right? And now, if you smelt something bad, there is immediately a face of disgust and you perhaps close your nose and you'll run away. That's a normal human being. If you are to taste something bad, naturally you will move it away, you'll spit it out and you won't come near it ever again, right? This is what a human does. If you are to see something disgusting, let's say you entered a public toilet and you saw all urine around the toilet, disgusting sight, the smell is horrible, you will run away and you'll hold yourself perhaps until you get back home. Look what the human does when he sees something that is disgusting and filthy in nature. And the human being comes close to that which is good, that which is pleasant. You smell a nice smell. You ask about it, brother, what is this smell? Where did you get from? What its name? Right? You eat something beautiful. You want to learn its recipe so that you can cook it. And you know, like now, we smell this biryani, mashallah. This is the human being. That's the nature of the human being. And so you need to know that sins
are filthy and they are disgusting. This is a very important principle. And so the idea is, the question that you're supposed to ask yourself whenever you know something is haram, you say, why did Allah make alcohol haram? Why did He make pork haram? Why did He make az-zina haram? Why did He make al-riba haram? All of the sins have one answer to them. They are haram because they are harmful. They are filthy. They are disgusting. They will damage you. They will damage your soul. They will damage your heart. They'll damage you in the grave. They'll bring you fire on the day of judgment. They'll bring upon the curse of Allah, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no goodness in them. They will damage your iman, your relationship with Allah. Every single sin was made haram because of the immense amount of damage and filth and impurity it'll bring to your heart and to your soul. Look at alcohol, for example. How many times do we hear on the news, research comes out, finally proving that there is some benefit in alcohol. Then 3-4 years later, actually all those studies were wrong, and now the scientists have reached a conclusion that zero alcohol is good for you. And then 2-3 years later, one cup is good for you. And then another 5 years later, actually nothing is good for you. And these people are confused. Why? Because they don't have any wahi to guide them. We have wahi. Allah told us it is haram. Haram, why? Because it's filthy and disgusting and harmful. Khalas, I don't need any research. I don't need any research paper as a Muslim, I'm convinced. And I'll just continue observing the West, how they keep going back and forth on their opinions. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to guide them. Look at drugs. You know the harmful state of drugs and what corruption and filth it brings upon a person. Look at pork and its filthy nature and what harms it brings to people. Look at al-riba, interest. Interest is oppression. Look at these current interest rises that have been happening around the world. How many people have fallen into depression and a sick mental state because of that? Where's the goodness in that? Where's the goodness in al-riba? Where is the goodness in interest? It's filthy, it's harmful to the people. It is oppression of the people. So Allah made it haram. You look at smoking and its harmful effects, ashisha, argila, vaping, all of these matters, they are harmful to the human being, not just to your body and to your soul, but also to your spiritual state. It brings you Allah's anger. It brings sayyat upon you. Look at az-zina, HIV, AIDS, genital warts. Look at the harms az-zina has in society. Kids are abandoned. Children that come as a result of az-zina, fornication, are abandoned in society. And they are murdered as well. How? In the abortion. That even here in this country, Australia, abortion is legal up until the age of 6 months. 6 months. That's already a child that has formed. And it is legal in this country to abort maximum the age of 6 months, and you need approval of 2 doctors. See the harmful effect of az-zina. It leads to abortion and killing a human being. Anything past the age of 4 months is considered murder. And then look at the sin of homosexuality. And what does it bring of pain and struggle and harm to a person? Anal cancer, genital warts, AIDS, HIV, monkeypox, human papilloma virus, hepatitis A, B, and C, which have no cure. So sins in general are all filthy and disgusting and extremely harmful to the human health and to the human soul and to his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look at the sin of pornography and addiction to pornography. These are studies that say a person becomes in a state of isolation, increased aggression, distorted beliefs, distorted perceptions about relationships, negative feelings within themselves, and they neglect other areas in life. Look at the kind of filth and the harm it brings upon a person. Wallahi, it is much better to strive and struggle against yourself, to keep your eyes shut and closed from obscene images, than to enjoy a moment or two with them and then feel all of this later on in your life because you couldn't control yourself for a minute or two. And this is why Allah Azza wa Jal declared all these matters haram, because they are harmful. And so the intelligent, sane person keeps away from that which is harmful. Even if he wasn't a believer. Yani, it was mentioned that some of the Arabs, they would never drink alcohol. And when they were asked about this, "Anta, you're a kafir, why don't you drink alcohol?" They would answer saying, "How can a sound, sane-minded person intoxicate himself and then act like an idiot in the street and in front of his family and in his home? I can't do this." These are kuffar. Back in the time, they would avoid alcohol because of its harm. Now people are a different story. But sometimes, I tell you this, sometimes matters could be confusing. You might see them as good. However, the reality, they are bad. You might come to the realization, okay, this is a sin and this is prohibited and this is prohibited. But I fail to see how is this harmful. I fail to see the haram in it. I fail to see the harm in it. Right? This sometimes could happen. I've been telling you about the sins being disgusting and filthy. And then you might say, no, no, but this is a sin and it seems to be good. No one's ever spoken bad about it. Where does this come from? From a shaitan. And the first trick of a shaitan is to decorate the sin and make it look beautiful. So don't be confused. And the shaitan did this. The first person he did this to was Adam alayhi salam. Allah Azza wa Jal forbid Adam from eating from the tree in the paradise. Therefore that must be filthy and disgusting. That is haram. Do not come near it. What did the shaitan do? A shaitan came to Adam and he said to him, "Hal adulluka ala shajaratil khuld wa mulkin la yabla." He said, "Adam, should I direct you and point you to a tree that is known as the eternal tree? If you eat from it, you're going to remain in here forever in the paradise. Or perhaps you and your wife would become two angels." See how he decorated the sin? Allah said, keep away from it. Well, shaitan went and decorated and dressed this sin by telling him, "Look how beautiful this. Eat from it, you're going to become an angel in the paradise. Yalla, go ahead." And that's what the shaitan does. With every single sin that's on earth, it's always decorated. Huh? And sometimes literally, look at homosexuality, for example. Yeah, well, with the rainbow colors, "I love this love," and positive words and positive connotation to it. This is the deal, this is the works of the shaitan. He has to decorate the sin, otherwise no one will come to it. Look at alcohol. Alcohol. Look at the description that alcohol is given. They don't just tell you this is a bottle of wine. This is some Shiraz coming from the wild forest, tasting of with a hint of vanilla and some berries and long description. And you look at it, you say, "Subhanallah, what kind of taste is this?" Especially on the airplane. You open the menu, you'll find the wine section. There's like four or five lines describing one line, one wine. And then at the end, there's orange juice, apple juice, that's it. Because then, the halal, no problems. See the idea? You need to be careful. So you might look at a sin and say, "But where's the harm in this?" Be careful. A shaitan has already done his job long time ago to decorate it and design it. So how are we going to know what's haram? Learn your religion. Learn al-Islam. Learn the Quran. Whatever Allah has said is haram. I do not care how many people dress it with goodness and beautify it. It is haram. That's it. Very simple. Right? So that's the first thing. You must learn. You have to learn. How are you going to avoid something if you don't know what to avoid? Therefore, it becomes very important to learn your religion on this basis. And that's the first point. Khalas, that's very easy. Every single time a person is tempted with a sin and an evil desire, think twice. Think about its horrible nature and its filthy, disgusting nature. And question yourself. If you saw something filthy, wouldn't you run away from it? Sins are exactly the same manner. So have some self-respect and run away from it. Okay, number two, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, for a person to overcome sins and desires and restrain himself from sins is to have shyness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To have shyness of Allah. When the servant knows that Allah Azza wa Jal is looking at him, watching over him, when you know that Allah sees you and He hears you, then you will be too shy in front of Allah to expose yourself to His anger and His punishment. That's number two, having shyness of Allah. What does shyness mean? In Arabic, it's called al-haya'. Al-haya', it comes from the word hayat, which means life. When a person is shy of Allah, meaning he has life in his heart. Today, no one will dare to commit a sin in front of his father, or his mother, or his wife, or her husband. No one will dare to commit a sin in front of his own children, even if they were young. Why? Because he's shy. He's shy. How can I commit a sin in front of my wife, in front of my brother? How? No, I can't do it. I can't even think of it. I'm very embarrassed and shy. What would they think of me? How are they going to deal with me later on? Who deserves this shyness of you? These people or Allah? Allah deserves it much more. Therefore, in the same manner, you're able to avoid a sin because you are shy of people around you watching you, then you have that instinct within you to understand and know that Allah Azza wa Jal above all watches you. And Allah Azza wa Jal's opinion about you is much more important than anyone's opinion about you, because it is Allah who will judge you on the Day of Judgment and not people. So be shy of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that would help you keep away from sins. If a person was in a room alone and you heard the door squeaking and you were engaged in something haram, you will immediately find the power and the strength to stop. And then when you realize it was only the wind that moved the door, you'd be relieved. Alhamdulillah. And the question is, but wasn't Allah seeing you all the time? Until you got terrified from wind that moved the door, and that wind was a blessing of Allah coming into that room so that you can breathe fresh oxygen. And you use that blessing of Allah to continue to disobey Allah Azza wa Jal. Then a person is supposed to be shy of Allah Azza wa Jal and know that Allah watches him at all times. There is a matter here that you can practice. Whenever your nafs approaches to commit a sin, there is always a noise in your mind that is telling you Allah is watching, right? Of course. Because a believer knows Allah is watching. If you don't believe Allah is watching you, a person becomes a kafir. So there is no doubt, even the most rebellious Muslim, when he approaches to commit a sin, there is something in his heart and in his mind that's bothering him, that's telling him there's a noise that's saying Allah is watching. I want you to do something. When you approach, or when a person approaches committing a sin, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us from all sins, major and minor. See that noise that's within you that's saying Allah is watching? Do not ignore it. Rather, allow it to grow within your heart and your mind. So say aloud, Allah is watching. Allah can see me. Right? Say this aloud. And this feeling and this noise within you, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called it wa'idullahi fi qalbi kulli mu'min. He called it, it is the water that is in the heart of every believer. Allah has installed a water within your heart. That water is the feeling when you say Allah is watching me as you approach to commit a sin. Take advantage of that noise within you. Don't suppress it and quiet it. Rather bring it out to life and say, yes, Allah is watching. Say, Ma'ad Allah. Say, oh Allah, I seek your protection. Oh Allah, I seek your refuge. Help me, oh Allah, to avoid this sin and to keep away from it. Say it, say these words aloud on your tongue. As you're tempted to do a haram, it'll help you. لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, وَلَا يَثْقُلُ مَعَ اسْمِ اللَّهِ شَيْءٍ. Nothing can outweigh the name of Allah. So that means when you say the name of Allah and you're weighing it with your sin and your desire, then the name of Allah will outweigh your sin and your desire. Your desire and your sin will be thrown away and you'll overcome your sin and your desire. Like Yusuf alayhi salam. When Yusuf alayhi salam was in that room and the wife of the Aziz had locked the doors and she approached him to commit haram, and Yusuf alayhi salam is a young man and the most beautiful looking man. What did he say? When she said to him, come, he said, Ma'ad Allah. He screamed out the word Allah. He said, I seek refuge in Allah. And he ran to the door. And when he ran to the door, what happened? The husband of that wife was there and he opened the door. That's relief. Finally, relief came. Between you being tempted by the sin and forgetting about it altogether is a few moments. It's not long. As soon as the nafs and the desire is strong to commit a sin, wallah, between that feeling, that strong feeling and strong desire to commit the sin, and for that to go away is a few moments. Just a few moments. Just say ma'ad Allah and get up and move from where you are. Like Yusuf alayhi salam moved from where he is to the door. And finally relief came. That's all. Just get up and find yourself in somewhere public. Somewhere among the people, somewhere among your family, and everything is gone. Subhanallah. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, he missed, him and the companions, they missed Salat al-Fajr. It happened. They slept straight through it. They didn't wake up and they were on a travel. They did not wake up except that the sun has risen already. So when he got up, he said to the companions, move away from here. We're going to pray Salat al-Fajr somewhere else. فَإِنَّ هَذَا الْمَكَانَ أَصَابَتْكُمْ فِيهِ غَفْلَةً. Because this is a place of heedlessness. Yeah, this is a place we were heedless. We forgot about Allah and the Salat. So this is a terrible place. Let's move from here. And that's a Salat. As soon as you remember it, you're supposed to pray it. But it was worth getting up and moving and praying somewhere else. The idea is, whenever there is a place in which you are tempted or you were tempted to commit a sin or fulfill a desire that is haram, that place is ghafla, move away from there. Move away straight away. Shaitan goes, Allah Azza wa Jal gives you strength and power over him. Now, that's very important. And always remember, when you do that, wallahi, do not ever think that you will walk empty-handed. Do you think that if you almost approach to come and commit a desire, and then you know what? You fought and you struggled against yourself. You said, Allah is watching. You left it. You walked away. Don't ever think that you walked away having lost something. Rather, you have gained a lot. Number one, you gained iman. Because this is where iman is built. In moments like this. Wallahi, al-iman increases. No, I'm not telling you about a person who prayed the entire night and then we're going to say, oh, mashallah, next morning his iman has increased. I'm telling you about a person who was stuck in a situation about to commit a filthy, horrible, nasty deed. And he walked away from that. Right then and there, his iman increases because he acted upon the knowledge that Allah sees him. Allahu Akbar. Huge. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Man hamma bi sayyi'atin falam ya'malha kutibat lahu hasanatun kamila. Whoever intends to commit a sin and he does not do it, Allah would record that for him as a complete good deed. Imagine that. You are about to commit a sin, but you avoided it, and you're given one hasana that you never did. But you did a great hasana, and that is keeping away from a sin. And that's, of course, we said, obligatory. And then afterwards, once you've moved from the sin, respect your weakness. Respect your weakness. You could fall back into that sin right away. So what do you do in that case? Surround yourself among righteous company and righteous people. You know, if a person undergoes a heart surgery and then he comes out of heart surgery, where do they put him? They put him in the ICU, intensive care unit. When a person is in the intensive care unit, he's not left alone. There's about 4 or 5 nurses around him and a few doctors that are coming in and out. The idea is he's not left alone. And when you come out of a sin and a temptation and a desire that you've just overcome, you're weak. Make sure that you're now like in the ICU. So surround yourself with righteous company and righteous people and do something beneficial so that your mind is always away from the evil temptations until you get strong resilience and strength against it. Number 3. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, contemplating Allah's favors upon you and His kindness towards you. For surely sins remove blessings and it is inevitable. You see, my brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah's blessings upon us are immeasurable. And the more we show gratitude to Allah, the more He keeps these blessings for us and He increases us. Being grateful to Allah does 2 things. It preserves the current ni'mah you're in and it increases your blessings. It brings you blessings that you never had before. And so when a person commits a sin, there is no doubt that it will remove blessings that he has. There is no doubt. Blessings are removed. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمْ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. You've heard this ayah before. Allah does not change the state of a people until they change what is within themselves. But you know what that means? A lot of people understand it wrong, or they read wrong commentary about it. Many people understand this ayah as being that Allah will not change our situation until we change ourselves and we become better. But the authentic tafsir of this ayah is that Allah does not change the state of people. Meaning, Allah Azza wa Jal does not strip the people away from their blessings. Allah does not change the good state of a people to a worse and a horrible state until they change from good to bad. When you change from righteousness to a path of rebellion and transgression, that's when Allah will change your good blessed state in a horrible state. So every sin, it is inevitable that a ni'mah would be removed. If you repent, that ni'mah comes back or it's replaced by something else. But if you continue to sin and sin and sin, wallah, no tawbah, you do not care, then one blessing at a time is removed. And the worst of the blessings to be removed are the spiritual blessings, such as iman. And your faith in Allah begins to decrease and decrease and decrease and decrease until a person begins to leave as-salat. Then he leaves the Quran. Then he leaves al-dhikr. Then he leaves Islam altogether. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. That's what sins ultimately do. They remove the physical blessings and then the spiritual blessings that are within a person. And this is why, from a salaf, rahimahumullah, they used to complain to their scholars and say, I committed one sin and I was deprived praying the nights 6 months. One of the salaf asked, I find it difficult to do righteous good deeds. Al-alim said to him, قَيَّدَتْكُمْ ذُنُوبُكُمْ. Your sins have held you hostage. It's your sins that have deprived you from the blessing of worship. So make a tawbah immediately and be genuine and honest in your tawbah in order for Allah Azza wa Jal to restore this ni'mah of iman and Islam and doing the righteous good deeds. You see, look, we're not angels. We will fall into sin from time to time. It is inevitable. Every human being is like that. But this hadith doesn't encourage you to commit sins. Yani when the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says all mankind are sinners, what do we understand from that hadith? We don't understand from it an encouragement to commit a sin. Rather, we understand from this, that's the nature of human beings. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the very same hadith, he said, the very best of sinners are those who repent. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that we are sinners to inform us about the solution, to tell us, run to At-Tawbah if you ever fell into something like this, in order to preserve your blessings and to continue to increase in these blessings. And look at sins, what they did. When Adam ate from the tree and disobeyed Allah, Allah says in the Quran, وَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ. Adam disobeyed his Lord. What happened? We were removed from the paradise altogether. And we came here in this world of difficulty and hardship and labor. Otherwise, we would have been in the paradise. But this is what Allah Azza wa Jal decreed. See what sins do? It removed the blessing of being in the paradise. And this is what Allah Azza wa Jal decreed, as we said, for a wisdom that He subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Now, so you need to understand and know that sins are like a fire. They consume and burn out your blessings. Just like fire consumes and burns the wood. And so we seek refuge in Allah Azza wa Jal from losing the favors that He has bestowed upon us. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect us from sins. So that's number three. Number four, to fear Allah Azza wa Jal and His punishment. This is number four that will help you overcome sins and desires. To fear Allah and His punishment and the hellfire. And this can only be achieved by believing in the promise of Allah and the threats that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes in the Quran. To believe in Allah and His book and His messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see, my brothers and sisters in Islam, the greatest type of fear is the fear of Allah and His punishment and His anger. That's the greatest type of fear. You might fear a dog in the park, or you might fear something or someone or whatever it is. But the greatest fear that you will ever have, and the best and the healthiest fear you will ever have, is the fear of Allah and His punishment. Because fearing Allah is Iman. And fearing Allah will help you overcome sins and desires. And nothing will protect you from the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal more than avoiding sins. Because these sins, they are a cause of punishment. And so the idea is, you're supposed to read the Quran a lot and read the ayat in which Allah describes His punishment. The more you know about Allah's punishment, the more you fear Allah, the more you keep away from sins. That's the equation. So look, ayat. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, يُصَبُّ مِن فَوْقِ رُؤُوسِهِمُ الْحَمِيمُ. The people of the hellfire, scalding water, boiling water will be poured upon their faces and their heads. يُصْهَرُ بِهِ مَا فِي بُطُونِهِمْ. And that will cause everything that is within their bellies to melt, and their skin will melt. وَلَهُمْ مَقَامِعُ مِنْ حَدِيدٍ. And for them are clubs of iron. Imagine a club of iron, and you're smashed with it forever. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says in Surah Al-Kahf, إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ. We have prepared for the wrongdoing, for the wrongdoers, a fire. أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا. Whose walls, a fire whose walls will surround them. Yani there are walls surrounding them and there is fire within it. And if the people that are in the hellfire were to ever call for relief, وَإِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُوا يُغَاثُوا بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِ الْوُجُوهِ. They will be given water that is like murky oil. You know, oil that you've cooked in within it for a year and then it's just black oil. They'll be given that hot boiling oil and it'll be thrown in their face and it'll scald their faces. And Allah says, بِئْسَ الشَّرَابِ. What a wretched, horrible drink that is. And what an evil, horrible resting place the hellfire is. Why do you think these ayat are in the Quran? Why? You think Allah Azza wa Jal just wants to scare you? Hack for fun? No. These ayat, Allah puts them, and they are a mercy to mankind. Allah is warning you here. Read the warnings. Warning. That's a mercy. So that when you know and you're aware, oh, you keep away. Look at now. If there's an electricity grid somewhere around here, they'll have a massive fence around it and they'll have big warning signs. Danger! whatever vaults, fatal. Don't come near, don't enter, enter at your own risk. And you're grateful. Oh, alhamdulillah, they fenced out the area and they've warned me. Right? Look at people that do the Mount Everest climb. There is a Mount Everest climb. Every year people go there. And many people die every year, subhanAllah. But before you go up there, there's a ton of warnings. Severe headaches, dehydration, vomiting, you will walk like a drunk person, increased tiredness, shortness of breath, deadly crevasse, meaning you can get to a place where there's just an immediate opening and fall and no one will ever know you're there and you just wait until you die. All of these warnings are there. And it's the same thing. There's a fire and Allah Azza wa Jal has warned us in the Quran. And these warnings means, look, there is a parameter and within it is sins. Don't cross that line. Keep out of that line. If you walk into that line and you sin and you transgress and you disobey Allah, all these warning signs are coming. All of them are coming. Unless you make a tawbah and you change your ways right away. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept our tawbah. Let me tell you something. If I was to tell you there are two rooms, I said one room, there is a beautiful looking woman in there, there is wine, there is haram, go inside and do what you like. But there's a room right next to it. As soon as you come out of that room, well, you're just going to be pushed in the second room that is lit up and it is on fire. Would anyone walk in the first room? Wallahi, no one will walk in. If you look to what's in the first room and you're tempted and you're desired, and then you looked into the next room and you know that you have no choice. If you walk in here, the moment you walk out, you will be grabbed and thrown in the other room. Wallahi, no one will walk in here. And this is now a fire in the world, their life that is nothing compared to the fire of the afterlife. So what's the difference? The believer, he believes the word of Allah more than what he sees with his eye. Wallahi, wa uqsimu billah, the believer's iman, that a hellfire exists, wallahi, it is more than if I was to see a fire right now in front of my eyes. Because what Allah says in the Quran is the absolute truth, more true than what the eye can see. So the intelligent believer will understand that any sin I do now, I can see another door. I can see a hellfire awaiting. So I keep away from the sins altogether. Now, the fifth matter, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, is to have love for Allah Azza wa Jal. The one who has true, sincere, genuine love for Allah, then that would be a reason to avoid sins and to overcome sins and desires. Proper love. You see, the thing is, when you love something and you love someone, you have a passion to get to it. You do whatever it is to please them and to bring you close to them. You will believe that you will find tranquility with them. Whoever loves something, loves to meet it. Whoever loves someone, loves to look at it. Whoever loves someone, he loves to hear him, loves to see him, loves his closeness, right? And so whoever loves Allah Azza wa Jal must surely love to meet Allah, loves to see Allah, loves to hear Allah, loves to be in the company of Allah, would love to be in the paradise of Allah. Whoever loves Allah genuinely would love all these matters. But then you will know that you will be deprived of these matters if you do that which displeases him. So as a result, you avoid the sins and the transgressions. Like now, when you love a friend of yours, you love him. You love to be in his company. You love to see him. You love to hang out with him, eat with him, travel with him. You will be very careful to do that which displeases him, won't you? Because you know that if you displease him, perhaps it's over, khalas. You'll lose his company. And that's just a human being. That's just a human being. Look at our attitude. And if we displeased a friend of ours and didn't feel right about it, that very same night, WhatsApp, brother, sister, wallah, I maybe said something to harm you and upset you today. I didn't mean it this way. Please forgive me. Wallah. See the attitude you'll have with a human? Have that attitude and more with Allah Azza wa Jal. You want to Safeguard your relationship with Allah, because that's Allah, the one who you love over all of mankind. Allah is the one you love even more than your own self. So if yourself wants to do a sin, no. I love Allah more than I love myself. So I will obey Allah more than I will obey my nafs to do a sin. See how loving Allah will help you overcome a sin. And if you did something wrong and you fell into the sin, then remember, just like that friend, that you're concerned and you message him that night. With Allah Azza wa Jal, the higher of examples belongs. Rush that very night, pray 2 rak'at, seek Allah's forgiveness. My Lord, perhaps I did something that upset and displeased you with me today. My Lord, if you do not forgive me and bestow your mercy upon me, I will be doomed, I will be in loss, I'll be destroyed. Like what Adam did. Adam, a prophet of Allah, he ate from the tree and he said, Rabbana zalamna anfusana, our Lord, we wronged and we harmed ourselves. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And if you do not bestow your mercy and your forgiveness upon us, we shall be losers. Now say this word before you and Allah Azza wa Jal. Admit to this matter. Now, فَإِذَن, the genuine love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you avoid sins. And this is why Umar radiallahu anhu, he said something beautiful about Suhaib radiallahu anhu. He said, نِعْمَ الْعَبْدُ Suhaib. لَوْ لَمْ يَخَفِ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَعْصِهِ. He this is beautiful. He said, what a blessed slave Suhaib is. Yani a blessed slave of Allah, Suhaib is. Even if he did not fear Allah, he would have never disobeyed Allah. You know what that means? I'll say it again. Even if he did not fear Allah, he would have never disobeyed Allah. Why? Because he has too much love for Allah Azza wa Jal. It's his love of Allah that kept him away from sins. For some people, their fear of Allah's punishment keeps them away from sin. And for some people, it's actually their love of Allah that keeps them away from sin. And that doesn't mean that Sahib never feared Allah Azza wa Jal. It only means that his love for Allah was much more than his fear of Allah. And the reason for him avoiding sins was the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's a beautiful relationship to have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, I share with you one final point, even though there is a bit more, but I think I'll wrap it up inshaAllah ta'ala with one more point bi-ithnillah. And that is what Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said. This is our final point, my brothers and sisters in Islam. In order to avoid sins and to avoid evil temptations and desires is to have self-respect and honor and dignity. And this will cause a person to refrain from anything that is humiliating or dishonoring to him or something that will make him foolish. What does this mean? You see, look, my brothers and sisters in Islam, please focus with me on this last point. People's personalities are different. Some people have dignity. They have self-respect. They have nobility. They don't like foolishness, right? They always aspire to achieve excellence, ihsan. Worshipping Allah as though Allah Azza wa Jal can see them, or as though they can see Allah. If they can't see Allah, then Allah sees them. They purify themselves from filthy environments and filthy people. There are people like that. They have too much honor, too much self-respect, that I feel disgusted if I'm in a dirty environment, or if I'm among diseased people and sick people in the heart, and people that are have no honor and no dignity whatsoever. These are men and women that have nobility. They call it al-karama wal-izzah in Islam. Allah Azza wa Jal, he taught us to be of these people that have that personality. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says in the Quran, wa'arid anil jahileen. Turn away from the foolish. Turn away from the heedless. Don't mean that. Be a person that has like self-respect. I don't want to be seen among foolish people. Turn away from that. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّهُ Allah said, مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. If the believers were to ever pass by senseless nonsense, they pass by quickly with dignity and honor. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. The believers are people who turn away from lahu, from uselessness. They turn away from it. No, I have too much respect to sit in a filthy environment. This self-respect will help you keep away from sins and what? evil desires. Because you'll have self-respect, dignity. I can't lower myself and be doing a sin. How shameful is that? How horrible does that look? So that's one of the reasons that helps you overcome sins and desires. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Allah azza wa jal yuhibbu ma'ali al-umur. Allah azza wa jal, he loves the loftiness of affairs. People have self, dignity and honor and worth. Allah azza wa jal loves this matter. And there are a completely opposite people when it comes to personalities. That's one personality. Another personality, there are people that like foolishness. If they speak, they speak what's useless and foolish. Their deeds are foolish. And then they don't care about their condition and their state. These people are most likely to fall into sin. Because sins are foolishness. Sins are useless. So if you consistently are happy with being in an environment of foolishness, then most likely that person will fall into sins because that's foolishness as well. They have no feeling, no regret, no self-account, they don't care, no honor, no dignity, no self-respect, and there's many of them. Where did this come from? Why is there a large amount of people on earth that do not have self-dignity and self-respect? Why? I tell you why. And this is from the signs of the hour. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَكَانَ زَعِيمُ الْقَوْمِ أَرْذَلَهُمْ. He said, at the end of times, the leader, the head of people, the influencers they call them today, will be the most foolish among them. Had a hadith in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, you'll have this leader, and he's the foolish among mankind. Whatever he says, people will say. Whatever he does, people will do. Millions in the town want to come out to take a selfie and a picture with him, to attend a concert. And who are these people? Who are the influencers of today and the role models of today? Who? Naked men and women, gangsters, actors, dancers, singers, sportsmen. These are the influencers of today. Open a TikTok account. Hey there, he's got 10 million, 200 million. How did he become famous? Because he dances. And then you have young people, and this is coming and it's affecting the Muslim community. I want to be like him. So from a young age, he opens an account, he dances like him, and he uploads it. And you don't know. You don't know when this becomes viral and it becomes something. This is how leaders are made today. This is how influencers become influencers today. One clip, 10 seconds that goes viral, he becomes an influencer. And so when these are the leaders and people are following them, you see how we end up with people that have no self-respect and no dignity? In normal circumstances, it's the most wisest and intelligent people that are supposed to be the leaders and influencers of mankind. The most knowledgeable, the most wise are supposed to be the leaders. Therefore, how do you bring self-respect to yourself and dignity to yourself? By being around the people of knowledge. Be around people that are honorable, that are noble, that have some self-respect, that have wisdom and knowledge. Then and only you will become affected by that. You will become noble. You will become with self-respect and dignity. And then that will help you overcome sins and desires. People fall in sin and desire because they don't have shame. They hang around foolishness. They follow foolishness. They act like who they follow. The most followed person on YouTube is someone called Mr. Beast, with 325 million followers. That's like 15 times Australia over. Mr. Beast, you might think, Wallah, Mr. Beast, come open his account. Who's this man? A little kid that has a little bit of adventures, uploads a video. In about 30 to 40 minutes, there's about 20, 30 million views. What's this? If this is the content you're consuming every day, and you allow your children to consume every day and you have no issue, how are they going to be raised and brought with self-respect? How? Where is it going to come from? Where is it going to come from? This will contribute to them losing their self-respect. And when you lose your self-respect, you become a fool. You hang around foolishness. you'll find yourself very easy to commit a sin, because that's your environment. So it's very important, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that we unfollow all this garbage and follow that which is beneficial for us. And yes, it's inevitable. Our children are going to be exposed to these matters, whether you like it or not. So instead of depriving your kids from it, open an account for them, teach them how to use it for goodness. At least you can equip them with the tools so that later on as they grow, you've already given them the knowledge of what's harmful and what's bad, what to keep away from, and who to follow and what to follow and what to learn. And that way, when they're around knowledge and wisdom, they grow. Their self-respect grows, their honor grows, their dignity grows, and such people will find it disgusting to come near a sin or an evil temptation. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us goodness. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our good deeds. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our gathering. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to admit us into the highest levels of the paradise. مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us steadfastness upon our deen, and that He calls our death upon Islam and upon Iman and upon La ilaha illallah. We ask Allah azza wa jal to grant us sincere and honest love of Him and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to instill the love of the Quran and the Sunnah in our heart, and to make us followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to gather us among Ummat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Day of Judgment. We ask Allah azza wa jal to save us from the hellfire, from His punishment, from His curse, from His wrath, from His anger. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to elevate our ranks in the paradise. إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه جزاكم الله خيرا.